Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. The most enduring development of 2012 in the Kansas City area? Here's guessing that it won't be the All-Star Game. Instead, consider last week's news that the University of Kansas Cancer Center has officially become the 67th center designated by the National Cancer Institute. KU has joined such established names in cancer research as MD Anderson and Memorial Sloan Kettering. It's a very big deal with lasting implications. We'll talk about it in just a moment. Later on this hour, reintegrating prisoners back into society. Turnaround is known in the Midwest as a premier prison reentry program with a 96% success rate compared to a national average of 50%. The program serves more than 1,500 ex-offenders from prisons in Missouri and Kansas. But first up, that new KU cancer designation. Joining us is Cancer Center Director Roy Jensen. And Roy, welcome and congratulations once again.
Well, thanks, Steve. And good morning.
Is there an element of surprise that this designation worked out this year, or, you know, did you see this train coming from a long way back?
You know, I would say that we were cautiously optimistic through the whole process.
Mm-hmm. Because why?
Well, mostly because we did absolutely everything we could possibly think of to ensure our success. And, you know, that started off with getting the support first with the university and the hospital, then with state government, and then being very aggressive in going out and securing national expertise on our external advisory board to make sure that, you know, they just weren't telling us what we wanted to hear. They were giving us tough, very rigorous criticism along the way.
So this process then began a number of years ago.
Well, it was Barbara Atkinson, who was appointed dean back in 2002, made this one of her top priorities. And then a decision was made to identify a full-time cancer center director, and I was brought on board in 2004. And then in 2005, Chancellor Hemingway made it his number one priority for the entire university. And so it just sort of took off from there, really.
So you had your work cut out for you, it sounds like.
Yeah, it was an eight-year process from the time I got here.
Well, so this is a big deal. Why? It's a designation on paper, but what does it mean for folks who contract cancer?
Sure. I think a big part of it is it's really external validation. It's not just us sort of telling everyone how you know, good we are, wonderful, whatever. It's a very rigorous, structured process that's run by the NCI that, you know, really helps, you know, identify the creme de la creme.
Yeah. And so you had to do what to get ready for it? What do you have now that you didn't have 4 or 5 years ago?
Sure. Well, we hired well over 100 faculty.
Wow.
In the 8 years that I was here. And that was all different stripes. And, you know, more than doubled our research funding.
Mm-hmm.
And really worked very hard to make sure that we met the criteria and the guidelines that that the NCI sets out.
And give us some examples of what you're talking about.
Well, sure. Well, by the time we submitted our application, we had over $50 million of cancer funding on an annual basis at the KU Cancer Center.
$50 million.
That's right.
Yeah. And that money's being used for what?
Well, that was just our research funding. Those are the external grants that we get from the National Institutes of Health, American Cancer Society, Susan Komen, Leukemia and Lymphoma. That's what our investigators are bringing in. And so, you know, a big part of the application is demonstrating that you have a critical mass of very high-quality cancer researchers.
Is the emphasis on research one distinguishing factor for a hospital that has this designation versus one that doesn't?
Yes. And the Cancer Center Support Grant is a grant that really supports your ability to do research.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't necessarily directly address your clinical program, but clinical research and clinical care in cancer are actually very closely intertwined because we have a lot of room for improvement.
Mm-hmm.
5-year survival rates now were 67%, and for someone like me, What that means is that for a third of all patients that walk in our door, we don't have an answer. And so that means we got to get better.
Yeah. So you're treating patients differently how today versus five or 10 years ago?
Sure. Well, I think one thing is having multi-specialty care and having highly specialized individuals. We don't have clinicians that treat all different types of cancer. You know, our clinicians, they focus solely on breast cancer or they focus solely on colon cancer. And it really allows them to gain a very high level of expertise, understand exactly what the latest thoughts are in regards to cancer. So,
is the cancer center better and more have a better reputation for treating one type of cancer, say breast or colon, versus another type of cancer?
I would say that there's a number of strengths that we have. Traditionally, we've been very strong in breast cancer. Our program that has come on very strong most recently is probably our bone marrow transplantation and hematologic malignancies program. You know, we're on track to do well over 200 bone marrow transplants this year alone. That's, you know, a phenomenal growth, and we have fantastic outcomes to go along with that.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Up to Date, and we're talking with Cancer Center Director Roy Jensen about the University of Kansas Cancer Center's officially becoming the 67th center designated by the National Cancer Institute just last week. It's a very big deal for the Kansas City area. If you have questions or want to comment about how important this might be to you, our phone number here, 816-235-2888, our email address, updatedate@kcur.org, or go to KCUR's Facebook page. You know, Roy, until now, the nearest designated centers to Kansas City have been the centers in St. Louis, Omaha, Iowa City, and the Denver area. You know, given that, you wonder why it took the Kansas City area as long as it did to achieve this level. What about that? What happened out there?
You know, that's a very simple question that has a pretty complex answer. And a lot of it was that what it really took was support at the highest levels of the university. I like to say that the Cancer Center Director is the cajoler in chief. I don't have a lot of real power, but what I need is the support from the chancellor, from the dean, from the executive vice chancellor to make things happen. And I think until Barbara Atkinson came on board, until Chancellor Hemingway came on board, and that's been continued with Bernadette Gray Little, the program just didn't have that level of support at the top.
And that's what it required. I mean, was KU always sort of the obvious center to go after a designation like this?
Well, Kansas City was the second largest metropolitan area in the country that did not have an NCI designated center.
What's the other one, Roy?
Miami is the largest.
Wow. So our time had sort of come in some ways.
I think so, yes.
Yeah, okay. Now, there are two levels of designation here for cancer institutions. KU, if I understand right, Roy, and you can explain this to me, is on the first tier, if you will. A hospital like MD Anderson in Houston is on a second tier. Explain what all that is.
Sure. So we have just achieved cancer center designation. The next level is comprehensive cancer center designation, and that includes pretty much everything that the first level includes, but it also focuses on population-based research. It focuses on outreach into your community. It focuses on cancer education efforts and really epidemiologic studies. Now, I think we're actually in pretty good shape to go for comprehensive status in a few years.
So that is a goal.
Yeah, absolutely. So so 4 years from this September 25th, we're going to be submitting an application for comprehensive status.
And when you talk about community outreach, what are you talking about there?
Well,
programs like Up to Date and sitting here in front of me.
Sure. Well, what the NCI really wants out of a comprehensive cancer center is for them to reach out to their community, embed themselves in that community, and have a positive impact on the needle in terms of cancer mortality and cancer incidence figures. We want to improve the situation in the community and impact morbidity and mortality.
Roy, if there are 67 centers around the country designated as National Cancer Institutes like KU is now, how many have this top-tier designation?
So that's 41.
Mm-hmm. 41?
Right.
Okay. And that's the next goal. That's what you're up against right now.
That's the next goal.
Okay. Let's go to Patricia from Kansas City, Missouri. Patricia, good morning.
Good morning. I got in the car and turned on the radio and was thrilled to hear this. I've been fighting cancer since 1991 in the area here. Had a transplant in 2005, and here I am 7 years later, still able to be here with my family and my grandchildren, and I just can't say enough good. Dr. McGurk has been absolutely one of my favorite people ever.
What does this designation, Patricia, mean to you as you look down the road here?
Well, it's just awfully good to know that they are seen as very competent, and that they're going to probably be able to get more and more resources to support their care of people in the Midwest.
Okay. So it matters to you?
Yes, yes.
All right. Thanks for the phone call, Patricia. So glad you're doing
welcome.
Well. You bet.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Beck from Leawood. Beck, you're on up today. Good morning.
Yes, I was listening to you talk about all the things you've done, and they're wonderful. But I'm really curious what the addition of the Kansas City Cancer Centers and Dr. Mark Myron's group brought to you.
Explain what that is. Yeah, Roy.
Sure. So about a year ago, we merged with Kansas City Cancer Centers, which is the largest private practice group here in town performing oncology services. And the combined program now treats approximately 8,000 new cancer patients a year. And I'm not sure where that puts us in the rankings, but I'm quite certain that's easily in the top 20. If not the top 10 in the country. What that really allows us to do is to make sure that every patient that comes in our door is screened for a clinical trial, allows us to ensure that we can, have the resources to move that needle in terms of the quality of care all across the region. And they're, they're a great group of physicians that fit into our culture and fit into what we want to do. And in large part, that merger was really driven by their desire to help us achieve NCI designation.
I was going to say, did you need them to get the designation then?
Well, actually, the data that the grant was prepared upon was in the year before that they came on board.
Mm-hmm.
But I think going forward in the future, they're going to be a tremendous source of strength for us.
Beck, does that answer your question?
It does, because I think Mark Myron saved my life. I give him lots of wonderful credit.
Oh,
and
great.
I think the center's cool. Thank you.
Yeah, Beck, thank you for the phone call. Let's go to Mike from Kansas City, Missouri. Mike, you're on with Roy Jensen, the Cancer Center Director. Nice to have you, Mike.
Thank you. One of you used a term, and I don't think you meant it the way you used it, but here's my question. Is there competition? Are you all pulling together, meaning all the cancer centers, all pulling together, or are you is there competition between you to get things? And, do you get the gist of my question?
Yeah, to get research grants and all the like, right, Mike?
Yeah. But, I mean, you're all pulling together to achieve the best. And so, anyways, what do you you were talking about competition getting to the second level, I think might have been the term or something like that.
Yeah, right.
So, anyways.
Mike, thank you very much. Go ahead, Roy.
Sure, I think I can address that. So the cancer center community is a fantastic group of people, and we have been given lots of help around putting our application together, giving us advice on directions that we should go in. And oddly enough, the day before we were able to make the announcement, I was at the University of Kentucky in Lexington talking with them and giving them advice on the process that we went through because they're just about to submit their application in September. So we're a group that works very strongly together. We compete for grants, and it makes us better in the same way that you know, the Celtics wouldn't have been the Celtics without the Lakers, and vice versa. So we're in competition, but that we structured it in a way that it actually makes everyone better.
So in some ways, you are in competition with centers like MD Anderson now.
Absolutely.
And they are sort of the creme de la creme, right?
They're a great institution.
Yeah. People might be wondering, is the hospital, is it going to expand and get larger in the wake of this announcement?
Well,
the cancer center itself, yeah.
Sure. That's been going on for quite some time.
Right.
I mean, we've been growing at double-digit rates ever since 2004. And so we've had to move our clinical program a number of times. And, you know, one of the things that I think is has been great about the merger is that it allows us to get out into the community, into the pre-existing offices that Kansas City Cancer Centers had. And so I think it's going to be an awesome relationship there in terms of, you know, providing the best level of care all across the city.
So the growth is continuing. What are you seeing here in the Kansas City area, Roy, when it comes to cancer itself? Are more and more people contracting it at a higher rate than we've seen before, or is the number falling? What are we seeing?
So the main thing that's driving, well, there's a number of things that are driving the cancer incidence rates. Luckily, we've had a fall in the number of people smoking. And the most important thing that we can do to decrease cancer is to engage in tobacco cessation efforts.
That story still continues.
Absolutely.
Very simple step.
Very,
yeah.
Very critical. But the other thing that's driving the rate in the opposite direction is the fact that the population is aging. And cancer is largely a disease of older individuals. And so, as our demographic increases, the age group of, you know, 65 and older, and by 2030, you know, we're set for a huge increase there, the corresponding cancer rates are going to explode. And so we're going to see a doubling of cases in our population by that time. And you know, part of the reason why the state government and local government was behind this effort is because we have to get ready for that. Because it's
going to cost them more money.
It's coming
Medicaid,
our way.
Medicaid, federal government through Medicare. Yeah.
It's coming our way, and we're going to have to be ready. We don't have to accept those numbers if we get out ahead of this and start doing something about it. And so we view that as a critical part of our mission.
Where do you think we'll be, Roy, in 2030 versus where we are today in 2012 when it comes to treatment? I mean, are we going to be in a whole different place in terms of overall effectiveness, or is that asking too much?
No, I think that we are on the precipice of a revolution in cancer treatment. Right now, we have to give drugs that in large part kill cells on the basis that they grow faster than normal cells. And I think that probably within 10 to 15 years, that may almost be completely replaced by drugs that are much more specific, much more targeted, and highly effective without causing nearly as many side effects.
So drug therapy is one area where you see a whole lot of change going on.
Absolutely.
Okay. Let's go back to some phone calls here. Again, our number, 816-235-2888. We're talking about the KU Cancer Center becoming officially the 67th center designated by the National Cancer Institute. That announcement was made just last week. Shirley from Raytown. Shirley, good morning.
Good morning. This may be a dumb question, but will your hospital specialize in all kinds of cancers, or are they just specializing in certain kinds?
Sure. We treat all types of cancer patients right now. I would say that our areas of expertise certainly include breast cancer, certainly include hematologic malignancies, prostate cancer, and head and neck cancer. And our programs in those areas in particular are as good or better as any cancer center in the country. And we also have emerging areas in terms of GI cancer and a number of others. So our research programs are very highly focused, but our clinical program is pretty broadly based.
Shirley, thank you.
Thank you.
Where did you find these doctors that you brought to the center in recent years? I mean, I imagine the competition for these folks at times has got to be fairly intense, too.
Sure. Well, that was a critical part of growing the depth and breadth of our programs.
You go out and recruit these folks, I imagine.
Yes, and absolutely. And that's where our philanthropic campaign came in. Mm-hmm. That's where the Kansas Bioscience Authority came in. That's where our support from state government and the university.
But why would a doctor come to the Kansas City area when KU didn't even have a designation at that point? Why not go to some place that's more established?
Sure. Well, a big part of that was in recruiting the type of person who wants to be an institution builder. Mm-hmm. And not just someone who comes in and sort of cranks the wheel of something that's already been built.
And get on the ground floor, build something great.
That's right. And, mm-hmm. and so that's a particularly exciting time to be involved in a center. And we brought people in that, you know, really enjoy that that building.
That's neat. Let's go to Christy from Roland Park. Christy, good morning. You're on with Roy Jensen, Cancer Center Director over at KU. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
My question for you is, you know, my husband works within the Kansas City, Kansas schools, and I'm a teacher as well. And I'm wondering if there's potential, as you talk about, like, getting to that next tier and part of that being embedding yourself within the community. And you also talk some about, like, trying to get out ahead of it to try to shift those numbers of rates of cancer and prevention. I'm wondering if there's potential for partnership with, like, within the Kansas City, Kansas school district or within the schools and what that might look like.
Mm. Thank you, Christy.
Sure. I think there's a number of opportunities there, and a lot of that relates to tobacco cessation. We need to keep kids from starting smoking, and that'll have a profound effect down the road.
It's almost amazing for me to hear you say in the year 2012, we're still talking about that, you know?
Yeah. Well, nicotine is the most powerfully addictive drug on the face of the planet.
Really?
And absolutely.
More than anything else.
More than anything else. And it's incredibly damaging, not only to the heart, but the lungs and many different organs, along with other agents in tobacco smoke, cause cancer.
Now, our caller was talking about collaboration with different public school systems. How might that work in terms of aiming at keeping kids from smoking? Is that sort of the main area you'd see there?
I think that's one thing. I think another thing is that, you know, having a cancer center and telling kids about the opportunities to grow up and be a cancer researcher and all the different jobs that are available in biotechnology and medicine and giving them an opportunity to, you know, be part of this.
Mm-hmm. Is a cure for cancer, I know cancer is a simple word that has a lot of weight behind it, different kinds of cancers. Are we going to cure cancer someday, Roy?
Well, we've already cured it in a number of situations, but our problem, like for instance, we've gone from a certain death sentence in advanced forms of testicular cancer to curing 90% to 95% of those people,
wow.
Even in advanced stages. So our problem has been that there's well over 200 different types of cancer. Each of them is the result of different types of mutations. Each requires a different treatment. And so, you know, when we cure one cancer, we've cured one cancer.
Mm.
And so it's a very difficult problem.
And there's more than 200 different kinds, you're saying?
That's right.
Okay, so in each one is an individual battle unto itself.
That's right.
Okay, I'm getting the picture here. You know, We talked a little bit about the ceremony last week. You know, NCI designation is expected to bring in, you know, millions of dollars in research. You've talked about that. I wanted to ask you about the announcement last week. You get an immediate grant, Roy, of $7 million over 5 years. What's that for specifically?
Sure. That grant helps support our research cores that enable us to conduct, say, for instance, clinical research.
Mm-hmm.
It also helps with pilot programs that where we want to have people generate data that then allows them to go on and write a bigger grant.
Mm-hmm.
It supports the leadership of our programs where we're trying to bring scientists together and promote multidisciplinary teams of scientists. So it does a lot support for research infrastructure. It doesn't support specific research projects.
You know, when you made the announcement last week, Kansas Senator Jerry Moran was there, and he said the achievement would allow young people in Kansas to pursue careers in fields that, you know, in the past required them to move to other states. Careers like what? What's he talking about?
Well, I think this gets back to the question of the last caller.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was at Vanderbilt University for 24 years, but I'm a native Kansan. Grew up here, went to school, and then went off to medical school there and was working on my, you know, research career elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope that, you know, this designation helps a lot more people like me, you know, come home. And we've had some great examples of that, like Andy Godwin. Was at Fox Chase Cancer Center, native Kansan. Dad was a general practitioner in Lawrence, and he's back as our associate director of translational research. So, you know, we want to provide that opportunity for folks who dream of curing cancer, who are from Kansas, and to do it in Kansas.
A few years ago, folks in Johnson County adopted something called the Research Triangle Sales Tax. You know, everyone's pitching in a little bit of money. I'm a resident of Johnson County towards this. Where's that money gone, and how important was that vote in terms of where we are today with your center getting this designation?
Sure. That project supports three different institutions. The Kansas State Olathe campus,
right.
The campus over on the Edwards facility, and then our Phase 1 clinical trials unit, which is just off of Shawnee Mission.
It's Fairway,
Parkway.
I think.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we have literally the most outstanding, best-supported Phase 1 clinical trials unit anywhere in the country. And this is one of our major focuses is on early-stage clinical trials. Those drugs which we're bringing online, trying to evaluate to see whether or not they're a better option for our patients.
Yeah.
And we literally have the best facility in the country to do that.
So in terms of forward thinking, that research triangle tax, for once, this is an example of something that was done the right way.
Absolutely.
At a critical time.
Yeah. And our the review team that came in, our external advisory board, they're just absolutely blown away by that facility and the potential for that place.
You also thanked in your remarks the Kansas Bioscience Authority. This is one of those obscure government agencies that folks don't think a whole lot about. But that group has committed about $50 million to the Cancer Center over the years. The Bioscience Authority, remind us what that is and how it gets its money.
Sure. This was created back in 2004 and is essentially tax incremental financing supported by the biomedical industry in Kansas right now that allows the state to selectively invest to help grow that industry.
Mm-hmm.
And they helped us in a number of different ways, but probably the most critical was providing half of the funds that it took to renovate 170,000 square feet of research space on the Medical Center campus.
Yeah. Again, something that was done with a little bit of forward thinking for
right.
a change. Right.
It's an incredible organization that has had just great successes, and it was truly visionary.
Just a final point from a listener here. Some think that if a Kansas legislature passes legislation restricting teaching abortions at KU Med, that doctors will wind up fleeing the program. What kind of effect might legislation like that have on what you do at the Cancer Center? Anything?
Well, you know, one of the aspects of that legislation was that it would require clinicians to inform their patients that, potentially having an abortion would increase their breast cancer risk.
Yeah.
And that's just absolutely not true.
Okay.
I think that that's, that's very problematic for us when legislatures are enforcing us to do things when, it's just not backed up by science.
Let's grab one more call here. Bob from Overland Park. Bob, you're on Up to Date. Good morning. You there, Bob? Okay. We're going to wrap this segment up. Roy, thanks so much for coming in. And again, congratulations for all your success over there, and keep up the great work.
Well, thank you, Steve, and my thanks go out to the community. Without their support, this would not have happened.
You bet. That's Cancer Center Director Roy Jensen talking about the KU Cancer Center becoming officially the 67th center designated by the National Cancer Institute.